You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 33. And in our exercise of the book of Jeremiah, going back into history that God has recorded for us so that we could benefit from it, and you're in the presence of God who made sure you have the book and understand the book. He's here to help us understand that which he recorded. So, and here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah looking at a human being at this point, living in God's man. He's looking for God. God is having a excellent time, God is, in outworking in Jeremiah's life, all that God has in mind for Israel. And in the process, Jeremiah is responding. And in the responding, he's caught up, he's taken up into the movement of being a prophet to Israel who is about to go into captivity. So it's all negative, all downhill. There's no positive to it. From a human standpoint, Israel is where it is with Josiah, a good king, then all the bad kings, Zedekiah, and captivity in Babylon. So it's all downhill from there. Now, having said that, and Jeremiah is in God's hands, for God's will to be outworked. And therefore he is able to show and to say of God's that relationship which he has, and God is using him. So here in chapter 33, remember, he's in the court of the prison, king's prison. Nebuchadnezzar's in and around the city all abouts as he's invading the city. And Jeremiah is looking to God, and there's no bright side from which, no matter where you look to the king, you look to the out in the city. There's no hope and there's no help from a human standpoint. And Nebuchadnezzar is surely going to level the city. Now, and so God encourages them, as we have read, and God re-encourages them so that they drive home the point. And thus we read in chapter 33, verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And to show, I'm going to make very visible, I'm going to make you very conscious of that which I am doing. And so therefore to show, and they're great, and they're mighty, we shared the word mighty, inaccessible, like the big wall, you can't get through it. It's inaccessible, it's incomprehensible. It's something you can't, like literally in Deuteronomy, the Israelites see the Philistine wall to them as high as the heaven. It's totally inaccessible. You can't get, there's no way to get through it, around it, or over it. It's inaccessible. That's the word, incomprehensible. And therefore, in verse 3, since it's incomprehensible and inaccessible, you can't know it, but I am going to help you to see it. I'm going to help you see that which you can't see. I'm going to help you to experience that which you can't experience. That's what I'm going to do. You'll never know it. I'm going to help you do it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in the process, remember he is in prison chapter 33, in verse 1, he's shut up in prison. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, let me try to help a little bit in prison. And we got to exercise that. So, you know, in your physical being right now, you are locked into your body. We did all this, but do it again a little bit. You're locked into your body, whether you like it or not, 24 hours a day. You're a prisoner, literally, of your body. There's no way to escape your body except by death. That's where it is. And you and I are subject to natural laws and nature, gravity. Everyone is body, prisoner of the body. We're prisoner of our environment. We're subject to gravity. We can't walk around like a butterfly. As it were, we're sort of stuck. We're to the nature of where we are. And the conditions of our culture in these United States, we are bound by the price of gas, we're bound by the grocery store, we're bound by the drugstore, we're bound by the system. We live in it. And if you want to exercise in life, they have to go and exercise the system. And you're caught in it. There is no choice. No choice. You may like to get gas at 25 cents, but you're going to be treating a long time trying to find a gas station that'll let you get it for 25 cents. They're bound to it. You're stuck. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, you understand that. At the same time, a person is free. That means you can pick the grocery store you want to. You can pick the drug store you want to. You can pick the restaurant you want to, McDonald's, whatever other ones there are. And you can pick it. You can pick and choose. You're free to do so. In all the while, you're in bondage. Keep that in mind. All the while you're in it, but you're free to function. So, when it comes to church, church is like one of the things people do. Some people go to church, and they go to church, and they are free. They're free. They're in bondage. I'm talking about unsaved, saved people, either one. They can go to whatever building they want to, and they can do so. And they're able to see the building like they see the grocery store, and that's how they do it. Because that's what we are, that's our normal life. That's how we live, that's how we think, that's how we feel. We open the refrigerator door, and we take what we want out of it at a given time. We're free to do it. We go to church. We are not prisoners in the church. We're free. It's our old nature. We treat the church like the grocery store, the pharmacy. Oh, it's a little different. The funeral parlor, how's that? You can take them all, a little different, but we're free to come and go. Hang on to that. Now, so when we do that, so we join the church and you get your Bible, Christians say, and you have the Bible, and you have read the Bible, and do your little whatever. And in the process of doing that, doing all of that, you can come and go, and we a message, and you may like the message, you may not like the message, you may like a thought, you may even write it down. And you can close the Bible, and you continue your freedom in your bondage. But the church, and you do it. If there's anything that you don't like, when you go to your refrigerator, you can pick what you want. And if you don't like something, you don't have to take it. You go to the grocery store and pick a different grocery store. Someone has a sale on something, and you can go pick that grocery store. You can do it. Why can you do all that? Because you're not a prisoner of that. You're free. You're free to pick and choose in your bondage. You're free to pick and choose. That's what we do. So when people come to church, normally, unless something dramatically happens for them to understand, I call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things. That's way out of reach, because they're looking to see it. Here's Jeremiah 33:3, and we're looking at Jeremiah 33:3, and we can see that. It's here. It isn't here. It's here. And I got it. Because I treat the church as a pharmacy, as an entity that I go to. I go to that restaurant every week. I go to that drugstore every week. I treat it like that. So therefore, this is normal. There's exceptions, but it's normal what they do. So you want to know when people think that here's the Bible, they either like something or don't. Now, but their concept of being in the church is like going to the grocery store and everything else. So they're free. So 98.9% of the people that come, that go, that leave, never, never, never give us a biblical reason. They can't give you a biblical reason, because it isn't part of, it isn't, that isn't how they see it. The church is like everything else. I can pick and I can choose, I can come and I can go. Do you understand that? That's how they think. That's how most people sitting in church think. That's how they act. How do you know that? You'll see in a second if you didn't get it. So that's what you've got. So when Paul says, when Jeremiah to God, Jeremiah is a prisoner. He's an awesome, wonderfully wonderful person caught up with God. He's a prisoner of God. I want to point out, if I can remind you of the difference. We're prisoners of the system. We understand that. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing when He saves you. And He Himself is the Savior. He Himself is the salvation. He is the one to make it all work. It isn't something we get a little something, little salvation, and we put it in our pocket. It isn't that. It's a person. And that's why you have to enjoy that. When that person saves you, something dramatically happened from God's point of view. That's why you're saved. Otherwise, you aren't saved. God took over the ownership of your body. He died on the cross to take it. Do you understand? So the church isn't something I come to and I can pick and choose based on what someone says or thinks. I'm part of the body. I'm part of God's wonderful body. Do you understand? I can say it to you. I know you won't get it. That does no offense to you. It's just what it is. You're a prisoner. You become a prisoner. God, let's do it. Do it again. A little bit anyway. I'm trying to get you to see something. What's it mean to be a prisoner of the Lord? What's it mean? Let's go look at it. So now, go with me, please, over if you like in your Bible. Philippians. It's a rather simple, obvious thing, but we never think about it. I'm trying to help you see the problem. That's why you can sit there for 20 years. People come and go and sit, and you never catch on. Because you were taken prisoner. Like you're living your body. God took the body, and that's who owns the vehicle that keeps you. God does. God does. That's what happened. That's why the church, that's why you're in the church. That's why we sit here. It's rare. We sing and do everything. It's a club, a religious club with Christ at the center, maybe. And you need to understand why people come and go. You could never do that if you understand you're a prisoner. And God doesn't give you an out. God doesn't give you freedom. You can't get free, can you? Well, do it another way. Can you get unsaved? How's that? Do you want to? But can you get unsaved? Well, no, you can't get unsaved. That's the trouble. Do you understand that? Salvation, who did it? God did. You gave him permission to save you when you invited him in and received him as your Savior. And once you gave him permission, man, you know, trying to think of things fast. If you had to go, you want to have a little exercise and get some education. So you go in the military, right? You go in the military, and you're going to go in the military, and you'd like to get a little this education and all this little benefits. And so the recruiter sits down, and here's the thing to sign, or whatever you sign. And the recruiter smiles at you. Well, yes, you're going to have this, and you'd like to do that. That's a very wonderful thing. And you sign it, right? Sign your name. Write your name, right? And then you go to a little exercise camp, boot camp, something. And the boot camp guy, I mean, the guy that signed you up, and you wonder what happened to his paperwork, what happened to his, he told you. And what are you going to do? You scrub the deck and wash the toilets. That's what you do. But I signed up, you see. The military doesn't give you who knows what they are now. The military doesn't give you freedom to say, well, no, I don't like that. I don't like that caught in among all this. I think I'd like my own little room in the bunk, okay? I don't want to have to bunk with everybody. I want my own little room. And you say, oh, okay. I want you to paint it a little bit because I don't like the color. Does any of that take place? May. You're a prisoner. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you didn't join the military. God, you lined yourself up with Almighty God, and he took you because he died for you to save you in a wonderful way. You are his prisoner. I say it. People, 98% of them sitting in church, don't understand that. Practice it. If the Bible's here, church is here, and it's never here in the heart. And once it's in the heart, all that argument and all those dumb excuses and all that reasoning, the hypocrites are there, sure they are. You never do that. You could never do it. That's why I know it doesn't exist. People just come and go. They have no idea what it is to be saved. A prisoner. We don't like to be bond. We like little kids. Don't tell me what to do. I want to know what to do. I'll choose what I want and when I want. That's us. Now, over to whatever I started to say. Philippians. I'm not probably going to help you very much. I'm trying to get you to see the problem. Otherwise, you're going to sit for 10 more years if the Lord tarries. And when we say prisoner, like we'll have to be in prisoner because the rest of Jeremiah won't say prisoner again, so I won't bring it up. See. Philippians in chapter 2. And may I point out, this came up last night at a board meeting, a little question. And they say, how come? There's a very obvious reason why it's like it is. It's just the way people are. It's how we think. The good guys think. The preachers think like that. I mean, after all, they're human. That's what they do. Here's the pulpit. Do what I do. I'm done. Till the next meeting. And I do the pulpit again. I'm done. Philippians chapter 2, in verse 6. Verse 5, because I need that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, the same likeness. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, emptied himself, and took upon him the form, the same as in verse 5, likeness of a servant. The word servant is the word slave. Bottom of the barrel, slave. The Roman Empire, a third of the empire at least, was in slavery. And so here's the slavery. To be a slave, you're bought at the bottom of the barrel. Now, in order to capture that, so you see that, when he came, he born in Bethlehem of Judea, he, in his mind and heart, in his perfect humanity, he saw himself as a slave, as a born slave, in the world of slavery. He saw himself as a slave in the world of people that were born in bondage to sin. Do you understand? He saw himself. Now, but he represents God's awesome, sovereign person. So Revelation, and in chapter 1, and you will note, verse 1, Revelation 1, verse 1, the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, both times slave, bond slave. And we shared that years ago when we did Revelation. What do we share? Revelation is written to the slaves of God. It isn't written for public. It isn't written for churchy prophecy, something to go nowhere. When it's all done with prophecy, what's it do? Unless it locks in. Servant. It's meant for people to read the Bible, those that are slaves of God. They're prisoners of God. For what? For Jeremiah is a prisoner of the king and thus ultimately Nebuchadnezzar, but foremost and overriding all of that, he's a prisoner of God. That's what he is. And therefore, God can do mighty things in him because he's his prisoner. He's in his jail. He's in his jail. God can show him great and mighty things which he knoweth not. Okay, chapter 22. And reminding yourself. And in chapter 22, I'll read verse 3. There shall be no more, this is in a new heavens and a new earth. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants, there's your word, slaves, shall serve him. What are you going to do in heaven? You're going to be a slave to serve God's awesome person, as everyone is. Even the Spirit of God serves the Son of God, and the Son of God serves the Father, and the Father serves the Son, and the Spirit of God serve. That's what you do. You don't call the shots. You aren't there to have a debate or a dialogue or go to school and get a job. You're there to enjoy God's awesome person. Do you understand that? Say, well, I don't know what you think about heaven, but heaven's an awesome place. And if you think great and mighty things and they're going to happen on earth, you wait till you get to heaven. Great and mighty things. Because you're his prisoner. You're a prisoner of God, of his holy, heavenly, happy environment. You're a prisoner. Wow. Now, having said that, back over to Romans. And in, again, just in Romans, all I'm doing is just keep saying it and saying it, and you'll keep putting little pieces together. It'll click. I got a prisoner, prisoner. What do you think God said it for? He didn't say it for the fun of it. Romans chapter 6, picking up, if I may, in verse 4 initially, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So when you get saved, God did a wonderful thing. You recognized you were dead. You recognized that you died on the cross, even though you're in this body. You recognized that Christ took and paid the penalty for your sinful condition. And he paid it. And he's done with it. Finished. And now he gives you his wonderful life. We shared health last time. A wonderful subject. And all of it. Your body is what? Your body, physical body, spiritual, your old nature. Physically and mentally dead. That means you're in a dying body that's going to drop dead and bury it. You're in that body. You've got an old nature that's contrary to God. You're in prison to that. We shared that in the beginning. You can't get out of it. But when you're caught to death, disease, and every other dumb thing that's there, disappointment, discouragement, depression, you name them. You're subject to them. It's your old nature. And we say health. God gives you wonderful what? Hebrews 4. You're to have what? His rest. Don't rest in your trying to fix everything wrong in a way that you don't. Hang on. Don't try to figure you can get rid of everything. You've got a dead body, dying body that's dying. You can't stop it. It's subject to everything in this world. Jeremiah is in a physical body, in a physical prison, and all the things that go with it. But at the same breath, the Spirit of God, when you get saved, brings you a relationship to God. God is wonderfully, wonderfully healthy. The person of God. Your person is deadly, sick, deathly sick, dying, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, having said that, at the same time, I live in that body and you do. The Spirit of God took over my body, took over your body, and it's his body. And it's the same dead body, same disease, the same, but we got to live in it till he's finished. That's the rule. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So here we are. And at the same moment, always, we ought to be enjoying the wonderful life of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfectly healthy and full of life, and so are you. Why? Because he is your life. And he is your health. and you'll rest in a dead, dying body. All the while, you'll enjoy the wonderment of life. And the dead body can never take away your life. Disease can never take away your life. The world, nothing can take away, because you're his prisoner. You're bought with a price. In Romans 6, verse 13, neither yield. Remember now, remember verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourself. Verse 11, likewise reckon, calculate, compute ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 13, neither, if you're going to be prisoner in God, God, what do you want? Therefore, I'm going to look to God, like Jeremiah is doing. God tells Jeremiah to trust him, call unto me, etc., etc. Here's verse 13, neither yield ye your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, legs, feet, hands, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. I reckon, God, you took me over. It's your body, your prison. I'm your prisoner. And your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, as an instrument of righteousness unto God. So God, at the same breath, all of it's dead and crucified, paid for. At the same moment, I have wonderful, wonderful, everything in my body I can yield to. My eyes, my teeth is, okay, got it. Say you got a toothache, so does God. You got a headache, so does God. You got whatever it is, God's there. That's his body. He knows it. But in the same breath, you're looking to God to outwork in this body as his prisoner, his wonderful will. And God's what God's going to do. That's what he's going to do. Why? Because I'm not reckoning out here that the church is out here and here's my Bible and I read it sometime and here I am. No, it's me. I'm caught. The Bible, God's word brought me, and God's grace and the Spirit of God brought me, it brought us into a unique oneness. You see, Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. It's God in you. I know that's foreign. That's why part of the problem in this that we started with, the church people that go to church don't believe that. Now, don't tell me they do. You can tell me they do. But if I was a betting man and I line up 100 of them and don't clue them in what you're doing, by the time you're done, I'm going to win and you're going to lose. Because people do not have that consciousness of God. God, I didn't say that intellectually. I say that spiritually for real. And they don't believe that. And that's why they can't appropriate anything. Yield yourselves. And chapter 6, verse 16. Know you not that to whom ye yield yourself, there's the same word, yield yourselves, servants, slaves, there's your word, to obey his slaves, servants, you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You have a right to either trust God or you don't. You're either looking to God or you don't. It's pretty simple. That's what being spiritual is. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're seeing everything at the same time, but we're looking to God at the same time. So by faith, I see it all, but I'm going by God. I'm living in it all. I feel it all. I'm sweating in it. I'm got a fever in it all. But I'm looking to God. I walk by faith and not by sight. I got the problem, but I also have God. And I'm looking to God. That's the difference. That's rare. I hate to say it to you. And that's the problem. And we aren't going to solve it. It's the way it is till the end, till God takes us. But I'm trying to help us guys so that at least we see it. Because people are saying, well, why did they leave? You know. And they can't point to the Bible. They don't point to the Bible. How are they going to do? They can't do that. Because they don't, the Bible's out here. The Bible isn't chasm captured them. And if it captured them, they wouldn't be doing the other what they're doing. Because we have to go by the Bible, not my feelings, not my fears, not my faults. I don't go by them. I have to go by God and His Word. No matter how I feel, no matter what anyone thinks, I have to go by it. I'm judged by it. You understand? I'm a slave. I'm a prisoner. I'm caught. How many people know that and believe it and do it? And I hope you, I'm trying to help you understand. Because great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God said, you have no idea what I'm going to do in wonderment. And we're going to look at it, some of that. Now, having said that, keeping that, what a place, oh, if I did it, you know it. Why not? Over to 1 Corinthians. And I want you to see if you've underlined it in your head and heart. I need to do the same. In God's wonderful, wonderful grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, picking up, as you know, in verse 19. What know you not, that your body, underline, is the temple, the home, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Verse 20, you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, which is His, and in your spirit, which are God's. God took over when He got saved. That's what changed my life. You want to know what changed 100 years ago? What changed my life? I had to wake up to all this other stuff. I'm saved. I had to wake up to one. One day, I looked up, and God got me to the point where I had to, I got it, finally sunk into my little head. God wanted all of me. He didn't want 10%. He didn't want 20 hours a day. He wanted me, the whole bit from head to toe. And He took it. He was waiting for me to yield the whole thing for Him. Do you understand? And that changed my life. That's how we started the work X years ago. For that reason, to let people know what? God's an awesome God. Do you see? You're bought with a price. To each, if you're saved, can you underline that in your mind? I am not my own. I belong to Him. And then get and ask God to drive home that point. You belong to Him. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter how you cut the cookie, and no matter how anything goes at work, and I don't care about your intellect, your IQs, and your way, and your quirks, because everyone has their own personalities that are all over the place. That's why Christ died, to free us, to get us to the point to begin to enjoy God.